Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity to see. We're thankful, Lord, for the gift of life you have given us on this day to be able to live in a day we have never seen before. We're thankful, Lord, that we hope our hearts are focused on your word and what your word commands us to do. We pray, Lord, in our evangelistic efforts this evening, Lord, that someone is listening who is searching for the truth. We pray, Lord, that Brother Sapp only preach those things as they pertain to the oracles of what you have given us through inspiration. We pray, Lord, that you bless this work and continue to give us the increase. Pray, Lord, that someone listening this evening will have their faith strengthened. Pray, Lord, that someone listening this evening can be restored. Pray, Lord, that someone listening this evening can be baptized. Lord, we ask this prayer in your son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flannel, Brother Tommy Brooks, and to those who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want to welcome you to our call, and we thank you so very much for joining us tonight. You're considered our VIP, that is, you're a very important person to us. And we pray now you open your Bible and pay attention to the things that will be taught tonight, for we put this call on with you in mind. Take notes of the things that will be said tonight by our speaker. Thank you for allowing us to bring him to your home for 30 minutes. Tonight, especially pay attention to the things that pertain to saving of your soul. Tonight, Brother Melvin Sapp, minister of the Kingsbury Road Church of Christ in Sumter, South Carolina, will come to us tonight. This month's theme in August, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible, Brother Sapp, we need to know this. What does the Bible say about the church that Jesus built? Let's hear that, Brother Sapp. Tell us about it.
Good evening. I call your attention tonight to Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Saying, they said unto him, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some else, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Much confusion abounds in the religious world regarding the identity of the Lord's church. Some have the idea that any church will do. Others have the mindset that all churches belong to Jesus. Some say that one church is as good as another, or even that the church is not even important. It is not necessary to be a part of the church in order for one to go to heaven. So you have all of these various views that people have regarding the church that need to be corrected. The scriptures provide the identified marks to verify the existence of the church that Jesus built. It is a fact that Jesus built the church that you can read about in the New Testament. He promised to build the church. When he asked the disciples as to who men say that he was, all of their guesses were of high quality men, prophets, and yet they missed Jesus 1,000 miles. And when Jesus asked his disciples, who did they say that he was? Peter said he was the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You didn't get this from men, but you got it from the Father, which is in heaven. And he said, I say also unto you that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus promised that upon the confession, upon the truth that Jesus, that Peter had made, that Jesus is the Son of God, the church will be established by Jesus upon that truth. And thus, I will build my church. The church belongs to Jesus by virtue of the fact he's the builder. He established, he originated the church you read about in your Bible. Likewise, no other prophet, no other person qualified to build it. Not Elijah, not Jeremiah, not one of the prophets. Nobody but the Son of the living God qualifies to build the church. Likewise, in Matthew 17, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, in verse 1, up into Mount Transfiguration. And he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Not Moses, not Elijah, no man save Jesus qualifies to build the church. And therefore, Jesus can build the church because he is the Son of God. Not only that, Jesus would die, go into the hated world for 3 days, arise from the dead to build this church. And the gates of hell, of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again before he built the church, to qualify to build the church, one has to die first, be dead 3 days, and walk out of the cemetery. That's what Jesus did. He qualified to be the builder of the church you read about in your Bible. Out of that, Jesus purchased the church with his precious blood. He bought the church. He paid for it in full. And that's 20, in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, bought the church with his precious blood that he shed on Calvary's cross. What that tells you and I, that the church that Jesus built was bought, paid for, when he shed his blood for our sins. Therefore, he only died one time. He only made one purchase of the church. Thus, the church that he built is the one that he paid for, and thus the church is blood bought. Not only that, we find that the church is the body of Christ. It is a figure used short organization. Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body, and he only has one. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 23, the Bible says that what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. When Christ was raised from the dead, he was raised to be the head of the church. And the church being his body, Christ has authority over everything that the church does. Members are added to that body, that one body, by baptism. In 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 12 and 13, as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jew or Greek, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And thus, when one is baptized into Christ, he becomes a member of the church, the body of Christ. He becomes a part of the church that Jesus built, paid for with his blood, and he becomes a member of the church you can read about in the New Testament. Likewise, all the members make up that one body. In Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so there's a platform of unity, a seven-tier platform that makes everyone who believes in Christ one. There's only one Lord, there's only one faith, there's only one baptism, there's only one body. And so if we adhere to this platform of unity, we can all speak the same thing. We can all be a part of the same organization, the same body, the body of Christ. Doesn't matter whether one is black or white, male or female, Jew or Gentile, American or African, it doesn't matter, because all people are invited by Jesus Christ to be a part of his body, the church. Likewise, he's the head of that body, meaning that Christ has all authority. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. A parallel is drawn between the relationship of the husband and wife and Christ and the church. The wife is married to the husband, and of course she wears his name. He's the head, she submits to his leadership. Christ is the head of the church, and the church wears his name. It is a marriage. One husband, one wife, one Christ, one church. That's how it was in the Bible. And we call people back to the Bible to speak what the Bible speaks, to be silent what the Bible is silent. Call Bible names by Bible things by Bible names, and do Bible things in Bible ways. That points us back to the church that Jesus is the head of. He has all authority. In Matthew 28:18-20, the Bible says all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus doesn't have some authority or most authority. Jesus has all authority in religious matters. And what he teaches must continue to be taught until the world comes to an end. Thus, Jesus must give authority, must give permission for everything taught and practiced in Christianity. In Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. And so Jesus, being the head of the church, means he has all authority in religious matters. Thus, we go to his word and find out what he commands, and that's exactly what we ought to do. But then, not only that, the church is also called the bride of Christ. We mentioned earlier in Ephesians 5, that there's a parallel between the relationship of the husband and the wife and Christ and the church. A husband is entitled to one wife. Christ is entitled to one wife. Christ's wife is the church. That's his bride. Again in Ephesians 5 and verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Again, that relationship is one of oneness. Christ is married to his bride, the church. And then it says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so again, Christ loved the church enough that he gave himself for it. He died for it. He went to the cross and shed his blood and gave up his life that he might be married to the church, that he might provide salvation for those who come to him through the church that Jesus built. The Lord's church existed in the world in the first century. 2,000 years ago, the Lord's church was established in the city of Jerusalem. It was prophesied in the Old Testament by many of the prophets that God had a plan that the church would come into existence. That plan existed back in eternity, but it was revealed through prophets. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, it was said unto Isaiah, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I see it as prophesying that Christ was going to come, that the house of God, the church, would be established. It would be established in the top of the mountains where Jerusalem sat. All people, all nations would flow unto it. Not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. That God's law would go forth from Zion, and the word of God would be preached starting at Jerusalem. And so it was prophesied that the Lord's church would exist in the last day. In Joel 2, in verse number 28, it is a very parallel passage to that of Isaiah that prophesied concerning when the Lord's church would come into existence. In Joel 2, in verse number 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pull out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And so again, it's prophesied that when the Spirit is poured out upon sons and daughters of all flesh, that will indicate when the last days will start. And thus a lost church be established, guided by the Holy Spirit in the last days. The house of God that I just spoke about is the church. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, but if I should tarry long, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul is saying that God's house is the church. That makes the church mighty important, because when you go into the church, and the church is not a building made up of brick, wood, and mortar, but the church consists of people who obey the teaching of Jesus Christ and worship God according to the Bible, the New Testament, it is a called out, those called out of the world into the spiritual body of Christ, and they are regulated and governed by Jesus Christ through the New Testament. Not only that, we need to recognize that the lost church would be established in the city of Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse number 8, after the Lord had ascended to heaven, before the apostles would go out and preach, they had to be governed and guided and led by the Holy Spirit. They were told in verse 8 of Acts 1, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. They had to wait in Jerusalem to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to guide them in the establishing of the Lord's church in the city of Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 2, and in verses 1 through 5, we have the day of Pentecost, 33 AD, the last days having begun on this particular day. Acts 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Holy Spirit came on the apostles on that Pentecost day, empowering them to preach the gospel pure and simple. They received miraculous power that they might be inspired and be able to confer a gift on the Lord. And then we find that they preached the gospel, the good news of Christ, on that day. There were people gathered there from all over the world, from every nation. And many were there who participated by means of encouragement in the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter said unto them in verse number 36 of Acts 2, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. The Bible says in verse 41, then they that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What had just happened? They heard the preaching of the gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. They were cut to their heart that they had participated in his death. And they asked, what can we do to be forgiven? They were told to repent and be baptized for remission of sins. About 3,000 gladly received the word and submitted to baptism. In verse number 42, the church now, these people have been baptized, are worshiping, being the first day of the week. And they continue steadfastly in verse 42, and the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. They worship God on a steadfast basis on the day of Pentecost. In verse number 47, it says, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. All those who obeyed the gospel, were baptized into Christ, were added to the church that Jesus built, that Jesus bought, that he's the head of, that's his body, that's his bride, that he's coming back to save one day. And they worship him faithfully in the church that he built, engaging in the Lord's Supper weekly, Acts 2:42 and Acts 20 and verse 7, taking the Lord's Supper on a weekly basis, laying by in store as God prospered them, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, singing without the accompaniment of mechanical instruments or the imitation thereof, prayer and preaching the gospel. They did this on a weekly basis. You and I have an opportunity to be a part of the church that Jesus built. We can be like the Pentecostals, have an honest heart to believe the gospel, repent of sins, confess our faith in Christ, and submit to baptism to be added by the Lord to the church you can read about in your Bible. And thus, our only aim is to aid and encourage people to be honest with the scriptures, and to seek to save their souls as those did on Pentecost. I said, what must we do? And accept the same answer that they heard on that great day. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You and I have that privilege today. There are churches of Christ in most communities all over the world. Locate one in your community. Go and study with them. Learn the gospel. Obey it. And work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We assist you in any way. You may contact this program or any of the churches of Christ and demand a thus saith the Lord for you to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Not everyone that hear these sayings of mine shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. May we have the mindset to obey the Father's will, elevate the church that Jesus built, become a part of it, and live a faithful, dedicated life so heaven can be at home. Thank you so very much for listening to the Word of God tonight. Have a good night. God bless.
Thank you, Brother Sal. We appreciate you so very much for teaching us about what the Bible say about the church that Jesus built. Certainly, it was the Church of Christ. And you gave us the scriptures and the references that we need. And to our visiting audience, we wanted you to hear this. The church that Jesus built was the Church of Christ. And the saved are in the Church of Christ, and that's what he's taught us tonight. If you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, you too must obey that gospel. If you want to be baptized tonight, we want you to get back with the person who put you on the call and tell them you want to be a member of the church that Jesus built. Be washed in his blood in baptism, and the Lord then would add you to the roll. He adds you to the Lamb's Book of Life, and there you'll be a member of the church that Jesus built. or perhaps you have questions, you want more study opportunities, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we make the arrangements for you to be baptized, or have further teachings, or whatever you need. Perhaps you want to go back and listen to this message along with other messages that have been taught since the month of May. We had gospel meetings going on since May. And all these speakers are bringing these messages into your home and answering your questions about what you must do to save your soul. So we thank you, Brother Sapp, and we thank you for listening tonight, those of you who are not members of the church. And we pray you'll obey, like many have, doing these calls before it's everlasting, eternally too late. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for the love you had for the world, that you gave your only begotten Son, and that he gave his life, and shedded the blood that will purchase his bride, the Church of Christ, the wife who wears the name of her husband. We pray for our visiting friends and family and loved ones who are not members of the Church of Christ or the church that Jesus, your Son, built, that they'll obey tonight. They have heard the truth. We pray they obey it before it's eternally too late. Realize it. It's appointed unto man once to die. And after that, there will be a judgment. And it was your Son who said that if a man died his sins, where he is, we cannot come. So we pray for our visitors, Father, that you would keep their hearts open to receive with meekness your engrafted word, which is able to save their souls. We thank you so very much for loving us. Thank you for the blood of Christ. And thank you for the scripture, for we can read and find the truth for ourselves. And thank you for the simplicity in which our speakers are bringing these messages. And we pray your blessings upon the listeners. Be with us, Lord, and thank you as we continue through the month of May. Bless our listening audience and help us to deliver these messages through the phone for 30 minutes each night to our visitors and our brothers and sisters across the nation. We love you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for listening tonight. We pray you'll call in tomorrow night from 9 to 9:30. Another powerful message from the man of God, Sherman Alexander, how Christ gives life. This month, what does the Bible say? That's our theme. We pray you have a good night's rest and sleep peacefully. May God bless you, is my prayer. Good night.